right, let's mount up in this 9 o'clock hour. We get to our Chiefs contributor of SI.com, Josh Briscoe. We are, unlike Samuel L. Jackson, we are a little beaten up today as a tough one to watch. Probably the worst Chiefs play in the history of the Mahomes era. A pick, then a fumble, then an injury, and an ACL all in one play. How are you on this, I guess, victory Monday in Kansas City?
Yeah, I don't want to be too hyperbolic because I do think Patrick Mahomes is probably going to end up being the greatest football player to ever live, but that may be the worst single play a quarterback has ever made in the history of the sport. I mean, he throws a bad pick, he knocks out his number one receiver, at this point we expect for the rest of the year, and then the fumble ends up going out of bounds and charges get it. Yeah, happy Victory Monday, guys! Woo-woo!
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, we will talk to you next
Monday. But that's all that matters. We got the win. Let's move on, right? Like, if any team can overcome, though, Josh, this kind of loss, I mean, you got to feel confident with the Chiefs. They overcome everything, it seems like, in this Patrick Mahomes era. So I just look at it like they'll figure it out because they always do.
Well, and so I think that's what makes this so interesting, because for many, many times on many, many occasions, that's been the question and answer. Can the Chiefs overcome this? Yes. In this case, I wonder how many times they can do that in such a short period of time. Xavier Worthy's wide receiver one. Justin Watson is wide receiver two. Juju Smith-Schuster is wide receiver three. There were people who didn't think the Chiefs should even bring him back just as a depth piece. He's going to be effectively starting next week, I think. The number of dominoes that have come down for this team already is what makes me wonder if this is going to be the straw that breaks the three-peat, so to speak. They still have Travis Kelce. They apparently have prime Kareem Hunt, which I also wasn't really expecting
right.
yesterday. But they I don't want to say they have to do something. I don't want to say it has to be Amari Cooper, because I don't know that it has to. But this group right now, I think, is a little worse than last year's pass catchers were, certainly at least at this point in the season. I don't feel great about that, even though they are alone at the top of the AFC, and I wouldn't pick anybody over them right now. It's still a really disorienting injury for an offense that's already suffered so many of those.
Who's got a better chance to have some sort of impact on this Chiefs offense in the future? Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, or Sky Moore?
I was so hoping that's what you. I was so hoping that was going to be the third name. Amari Cooper.
All right.
I think like absolutely dead serious. What's more like who is more likely to put up 500 yards receiving on this team? I think I'll go with the good player on a bad team somewhere else over Sky Moore. He seems like a really nice guy. It seems like he's done what the Chiefs have asked him to do, and until the moment comes to catch the football or field the punt, his training camp was bad. I understand that they like him as a blocker, and he will get some snaps in all of this, but the fact that he did get kind of passed over for Juju pretty quickly, I think tells you enough of that story to believe that he's not going to take a significant jump up the depth chart. I think Mecole Hardman might be my answer out of that entire group if I was able to add one.
Yeah, Mecole could be that guy. I mean, he's been here long enough now and is very familiar, you know, with the playbook. Or maybe we just turn this into more of a ground and pound type of team. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire expected back this week, so you kind of add him in, you know, to the running back mix. Obviously, as you mentioned, prime Kareem Hunt is out there doing his thing. Samaje Perine ain't bad either. Carson Steele, I don't think we'll ever see again. But those three running backs right there can give you something that, you know, maybe you just start to go with a ground game. And like I've been saying all morning long, this is now a defensive team. I mean, the offense is here just to kind of manage the game and score enough points. As long as the defense holds them down, which they've done for 25 straight games, the offense doesn't have to be 2018.
Carson Steele in like a fifth to the Browns for Amari Cooper. You think maybe that's the trade? Just go ahead and send him to the shadow realm.
What about Carson Steele in a fifth to the Giants for like Darius Slayton or Jalen Hyatt? I mean, you know, there's reports out of New York that those guys are both available right now.
Yeah, I really do think Brett Veach is going to be making calls here. And I'll say on the last thing on the receiver front, because I do want to talk about the ground game and the defense there. But on the receiving front, the fact that Rice is probably getting suspended for the first chunk of next season and that Hollywood's on a one-year deal, there is short-term and long-term need at the receiver spot. I think they'll try to bring Hollywood back. But if there is a guy that ends up having, and this is this there's salary cap implications, there's draft cost implications. None of this will be easy. But if there is a guy that the Chiefs see being a part of this team for the next few years and not just a 14-game rental or whatever it ends up being, hopefully, I guess you hope it's 16 games from here on out, if there's a guy that could be a long-term solution, I do think the Chiefs should entertain that. But to your point, this is a defensive football team who gave up 10 points in the first quarter. That was an opening drive thing where I think Spags is just in information gathering mode in that first drive.
Yep.
Like, show us what you're going to show us, go score, and then it simply will not happen again. An incredible thing for a DC to be able to do. And the field goal was the Chiefs' own fault. The offense gave him 3 points, gave him the ball, and the defense didn't have anything that they could do about it after the turnover.
Yeah.
So in that space, this defense was pretty much flawless after the first drive. That's who they are. That's who Chris Jones is. They did it without Mike Dana and, frankly, without a lot to be super excited about from Karloftis or FAU on the edges. And Dana hasn't been super powerful or super has not had a very good pressure rate to this point in the season either. And still, Trent McDuffie is so bleeping good.
Oh,
Chris
man.
Jones is so good. That duo is apparently enough of a nucleus for Spags to build around. And the linebacker group has, Drew Tranquil has not been good. And we saw a great game from Nick Bolton in week 3. It's perfectly adequate, but across the board against the Chargers, really for the entire defense. Like, Jalen Watson looks like a legit number 2 corner now.
Watson,
none of that is
yes!
an accident.
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, I mean, you know, Steve Spagnuolo just knows what he's doing, and Andy understands that he can rely on his defense. That's the beauty of having the best coach in the NFL on our sidelines, is this guy understands, like, all right, I don't have to go out here and make my offense score 50 points. I'm going to rely on this defense, and maybe we see more of a ball control type offense than we've ever had with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I wonder if they will really do that as a choice, or I wonder if that's going to happen kind of out of necessity. The thing that I would add to that is that it gives both sides a margin for error. If you have a defense that is good, that bends and breaks sometimes, but you know, is by and large average enough, the Chiefs lose to the Chargers with an average defense yesterday. And we saw this happen a few times last year. So this isn't brand new. And, you know, the Snead version of this defense was different. And I would have said even more special, but this group's looking absolutely fantastic without Charles Minnehue still, by the way, which is huge. Mm-hmm. But I think you can continue to try to be the offense you want to be and continue to build around Patrick Mahomes. And it's Mahomes and Kelce and maybe Kareem Hunt and Xavier Worthy. Chase your big plays every once in a while with Worthy and be a good offense with a great defense. That can get you to the playoffs. And then by playoff time, you're going to ask Patrick Mahomes to be Patrick Mahomes again. And I think they're going to try to continue to set that standard for him. I don't think you're going to see him handing off the ball 35 times a game or anything. But being a balanced offense with a trusted defense that can keep you in a game that you shouldn't be in at that point, that's really, really valuable for a well-rounded football team. And the Chiefs can be well-rounded until they need superhero Mahomes, which typically comes around in the playoffs. And at that point, maybe you get lucky and Hollywood is healthy by then, or maybe you see a big late-year step from Morby like you did from Rice last season.
Well, Josh, we appreciate the time. Get some rest as the busy week officially starts on your Monday, and you'll be joining shows throughout the week and doing all your stuff over at SI.com as the Chiefs contributor for us. Continue to have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
I'll do the same. You guys keep an eye on all your tendons. Keep them in your knees and your elbows and your arms and your legs. Keep them where they're supposed to be, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good.
Josh Briscoe, editor-in-chief on SI.com and our Chiefs contributor here. Peter Schrager just made a list, and I want to bring it up on the other side because I thought I got a lot of flack because I said George Pickens. He brings up a name that he thinks Brett Veach should call about. Bob, don't look yet. I want you to see your your raw take on the
all
other
right.
side. I'm Dusty Likens. Bob Fesco, Mac Moore. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
I guess I gotta extend my mileage on
you
the runs.
You do? Jeez. Well, it's those stairs of death, brother.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, please give me some sort of credit.
No. The stairs of death, and we've been talking about those for years here. Like, I'm not like a humble brag, but like I've never been in good shape my entire life until now. Like, I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. And every morning up those stairs, it's like, oh my God. And like, I run between 3 and 5 miles just about every day, and still going up those stairs is like, oh my God. And you ran ran downstairs to use the bathroom because the urinal's busted upstairs.
It is.
And now you're coming back and like,
I'm like sucking away.
I'm Patty McGee and I like to take the stairs.
I don't think I am. I'm just not stair shape.
Now it's the stairway of death, man. Everybody who walks up
stairway
that staircase has the same type of reaction.
Like the three things Kling told me is like, one, I'm never going to miss waking up as early. I'm not going to miss those stairs, but I'm going to miss you.
Yeah.
I was like, in that order? He's like, yeah, in that order. I was like, all right, that's fair. And now I realize why.
Terrible stairs, man. Terrible stairs. So anyway, so let's get to the Schrager suggestion.
Peter Schrag, right? Peter Schrag. It's interesting. So it seems like obviously we have such a head start on everybody because we're doing this at 6 a.m. and, you know, we kind of start doing the show around 6 to, well, it depends on the day. It could be starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, could end at like 8:30 at night.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself last night, okay, if I'm the Chiefs, which I'm not, and I'm thinking about this, I feel like they need to go get a wide receiver. Am I the only one in that field? Like, I know that there's some people out there that trust this team. They're like, hey, why? And I mean,
no,
like
I trust them, but I still think you need to go get somebody, right? Like, I don't think you're going to get an A number one.
Yeah.
But you need to go, like we mentioned earlier, like Darius Slayton, Jalin Hyatt with the Giants. Two available, if you will, wide receivers. Giants have traded with the Chiefs in season before. You know, those are some names that are kind of those are the logical type names that I would consider. Now, I would call the Raiders about Davante Adams 100%. Mm-hmm. They probably hang up the phone as quickly as you can dial, but you still got to do your due diligence. You still got to call. I'd call Minnesota about Justin Jefferson. They probably hang up the phone as quickly as possible as well. Right? Like, you got to make those phone calls. It's kind of the job of the GM. And it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you're laughing. These guys play grab ass more than you think, right? So you call these guys. You say, hey, what do you want for them? 10 first-round draft picks. Okay, nice talking to you. We'll meet in the Super Bowl or whatever. But you got to make those phone calls. But like a Darius Slayton, a Jalin Hyatt, those are logical names that you could potentially go get off of somebody's practice squad. I know the offensive coaching staff wants them to go make a move, obviously, for a wide receiver. But will they go out there and make a move? And then you have to have somebody willing to trade with you. And how many teams other than Buffalo are willing to make Kansas City better?
So Schrager goes, names I just mentioned on Good Morning Football who are at least worth calling on if you're Brett Veach.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number one, Amari Cooper. He's the leader in the clubhouse, I think, in Kansas City. Everybody knows Cleveland's a blank show. Deshaun Watson can't throw a football anymore. Any field vision. Like, watching that game, I was just like, are we literally just going to continue to do this?
Pitiful. I'm for it. Keep it going.
I'm also a big Winston advocate, and I want to see Winston play more than anybody else in the world.
But I want to see Cleveland continue to wallow in their own self-pity and whatever the hell goes on in Cleveland, Ohio. The other one, what were you talking about? I just lost my train of thought now.
He's going through the names that triggered.
Yeah. Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Amari Cooper, number one. Number two is the guy you had talked about, Jalin Hyatt, which had the Chiefs had mocked Jalin Hyatt third round at Tennessee. Great wide receiver. Tennessee might have the number one overall pick in the draft this year, too. That defensive edge rusher is amazing. Mac told me about him when we had the Madden tournament. You're like, that's the number one pick in the NFL draft. You heard it here. I'm like, every time I see that kid play, I'm like, Mac is
amazing.
Is starting to figure this football thing out. Sam Darnold's the MVP of the league. This guy out of Tennessee might be the number one overall pick. Then Travis Hunter might go second. The third name on the list, Bob, Cooper Kupp.
Isn't he hurt?
Yeah, but there's no way they're going to get rid of Cooper Kupp. Like, let's have realistic names. The Rams aren't getting rid of Cooper Kupp. He'll be back in like a week or two.
Yeah.
Great song by Diamond Rio.
Well, but it's interesting, though, because the Rams, they're F them picks, right? So
they're also like kind of at that point in their season where they're like, do we just pitch this away and try to come back next year and come back healthy? If they do, Cooper Kupp is a part of that process.
Yeah.
Because Puka Nacua is out. I don't know for how much longer. Cooper Kupp's been out. You have injuries. That team is not going anywhere. They're basically riding on the shoulder of Matthew Stafford and Kyron Williams. And that's it. I mean, they have DeMarcus Robinson. I know he's a fun name to bring up here, but maybe I'm just saying. And then his last name on the list is Keenan Allen.
That's interesting.
Which that is interesting because in Chicago, if you believe that Rome Odunze is the guy and DJ Moore is your other guy and Cole Kmet's your tight end, maybe you can kind of, But again, you have a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams who's starting to figure it out a little bit more and more each week. He needs to start figuring out how to celebrate after a win.
That was so bad.
What is it, hip, hip, hooray? He didn't like that?
Did he do that?
Oh, I'll have to show you a video.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's bad.
It's like a little kid just got a sucker at the barbershop.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm no big alpha guy, but I was like,
yeah.
Did not get me going.
He's like, yay.
he was, yay. Yeah.
Well, I mean.
So those are his names, he thinks Brett Veach should call upon. If I'm the Chiefs, I would love nothing more. We talked about this. Nothing more than to make that Golden State move when they went and got Kevin Durant. Like, Chiefs have been beaten down. They don't have their wide receiver one. They don't have their wide receiver two. They don't have their running back one. And they're still questioned sometimes at left tackle. They're 4-0.
And the right tackle can't seemingly stay on sides, or, you know, even though I think he's a good football player, like 74, I don't need to hear that number again.
We saw that too much.
Yeah, right? Yesterday. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there are names out there. There are ways.
Jalen Hyatt is the most logical one. Like, if we're talking logic, you know, of guys that you can logically go out there and get, the Giants right now at 1-3. They've got a stable of wide receivers. Mm. Malik Nabers is clearly their number one. Jalen Hyatt looks to me like most attainable.
Him or Slayton, yeah, to me.
Either one. Mm. Giants, I'm just going on this list of put out. I would think Keenan Allen's probably number two on that list based on the relationship Brett Veach has with the GM up there in Chicago. Ryan Poles, obviously, a guy that was here. They have that kind of relationship. And so maybe that's a number. But Keenan Allen has 7 catches this year for, you know, 30, 50 yards. He missed 2 games already this season of the 4. It's not like he's
right.
but it's a name. It's a veteran. It's a guy. And that's, again, that's what I think you're going to get. But Jalen Hyatt maybe makes more sense short-term, long-term type deal. Amari Cooper is interesting because the Browns right now, what are they, 1-3, right? They're sitting at 1-3. Unless they make a quarterback change, their season's done. And to rub salt in the wound is what I was thinking about. Flacco's, you know, throwing darts all over Indianapolis yesterday. They just let him walk out the building. Stupid Browns. Poor, stupid, dumb Browns. And then Cooper Kupp, I mean, Schrager's probably saying it because he's probably hearing it from somebody, though. Like that. That's why it kind of intrigues me a little bit. I don't think Schrager's one of those guys who makes up stuff, right? Like, he probably heard from somebody that Cooper Kupp could be available if the price is right out there in L.A. And so that's probably why he threw him on the list. He'd be my favorite of the four, though.
Sure.
Like clearly my favorite of the four. And if there is a way that he could be available, I think you need to dig in deep on that one and see if you can get Cooper Kupp. He'd be a great, great fit here in Kansas City.
It's a great time to be in Kansas City. You got baseball coming around the corner. The playoff game starts tomorrow. We give you one more little interview that we had from a perspective of a bench coach in this interview process. Again, if you missed any of these, you can go back and listen to the show. If you want to hear the full interviews, you can go to the Fesco and Dusty podcast page and listen to the entire interviews. This one comes from your good friend Pedro.
Yeah, Pedro Grafal was on the bench as the obviously the bench coach during the wild card game, and we said, what was it like being in the dugout for that one?
Well, you know, first of all, there was a lot of emotion. I mean, it all started in Chicago, actually, when we clinched the wild card spot. And then obviously heading into it, we were in uncharted territory because, you know, nobody had been in postseason before, just maybe a few guys. But, you know, as we prepared for this game, everybody was really excited, man. I mean, it was an emotional roller coaster going into the game, and, you know, the game starts and, you know, and all of a sudden we get punched right in the mouth and, you know, we're down. I forget the score, how much we were down, but I remember having a conversation with Salvi. It might have been like in the seventh inning. And he tells me, I think we were down by 4 or 5. And he tells me, you know, what happened here today? And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, and he goes, what happened here? I said, this game's not over, you know? And I think he might have been 0-3 at the time. I said, just keep plugging along. You never know. You might be the guy that's going to win this game for us. And, you know, just to keep him going and keep everybody going. And, you know, that was that's a conversation I'll never forget, you know, the rest of my life. Because, you know, as it happened, you know, we started creeping back in that game. We started running the bases like wild men. And all of a sudden, here he is, you know, and in that extra innings, and, you know, to win the game, and he takes that that slider down and away off the plate, and he hooks it into that, you know, into that corner over there in left field, and gives us a win. So it was an emotional roller coaster all the way from when we clinched, you know, to the preparation, to the start of the game, you know, to getting punched in the mouth, and then just start creeping back, you know, little by little, and then, you know, obviously, you know, winning it.
I think it's funny when you look back at the game and you get past all the moments, Pedro, and you see that the ball that Salvador Perez hit was probably 17 feet outside the strike zone, but yet it somehow gets past a, you know, gold-gloving MVP player at third base in Donaldson. Like, what is that whole, like, you know, just kind of funny thinking about that. You know, you're everybody talks about, oh, Salvador Perez will swing at anything, and then there's the situation where it's just A-OK for him to do that.
You know what? I probably had the best view in the house because I, you know, we're on the first base side, and I sat right behind the on-deck circle, which gives me a perfect line, you know, down that third baseline. And that's where, you know, that's where I sat, that's where I stood every single game. And as soon as he made contact with that, you know, with that pitch, I knew it was going to get down the line. You know, if I would have been anywhere else in that ballpark, I probably wouldn't have thought that way or wouldn't have seen it that way. But I, you know, you see where the, Donaldson was standing, and then that ball gets hit, and you right away, I knew that we were down, that ball was down the line, and we were winning that ball game. So, again, you know, Salvi is Salvi for a reason. You know, over his career, you know, everybody's been talking about, you know, his plate discipline. He chases a lot. Yeah, you know what? That's who he is. That's what's made him, you know, great. That's what's made him hopefully a Hall of Famer, which he, you know, this is for another show, but which I think he is. But he comes up big in big moments, you know, and we had the right guy at the plate at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness Salvi was up there at that point in time. I mean, he's that veteran bat, you know, kind of at the time, you know, a couple of years into his career, but now in those tight situations, you kind of want Salvi up there again. So if he has to come up in 2024 and deliver some kind of hit like he did in 2014, you feel pretty confident about it. And you just hope that Vinny does get back into the lineup this week and adds another guy that you can kind of rely on, because if you're Baltimore at this point in time, you just don't have to pitch to Bobby and you don't have to pitch to Salvi. But if you have Vinny back in that lineup now you got three guys. You can't pitch around all three of them, so you kind of got to pick your poison out there. And it's going to be interesting to see if Vinny's back in the lineup and how that kind of lengthens the lineup as they get ready to take on Baltimore, who, I don't know, man, I just feel really good about this series. I don't feel like the Royals are, you know, a team that should be the underdog in this one at all. I think they're playing really good baseball right now.
Somebody on the text line says they were standing in the concourse behind the dugout and had the same view of that hit. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, one of the greatest times of my life.
It was unbelievable, yeah.
I mean, you talk about just a mix of emotions in one night. Like you said, you canceled the show, then brought back the show, then canceled the show, run down again,
canceled,
then brought it back.
Man.
And, yeah. Everything. It's like, yeah, I don't know what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, I think we know what we're going to talk about. So, like, the irony of what you guys, this back when it was you, Josh, and Spec,
yeah,
you guys, the irony of trying to put something together and put, like, your due diligence into it, because that's how these shows work. You put, you know, Mac has three ideas, you have three or four ideas, I have three or four ideas, and then we kind of sprinkle it out to make the full show. That's one of those things where you spend your whole night trying to figure something out, and with one swing of a bat, you say, we have everything we need to talk about right here.
Right here, yeah, right. It was just like the up and down, like the topics and themes that, you know, we were probably going to talk about, you know, October 1st of 2014, were probably all the same thoughts and themes that everybody was having as that game went along. You were like, really cool. The atmosphere is great. This is fun. It's nice to have postseason baseball in Kansas City. Whatever happens, happens. And then the game gets going, and you know, the range of emotions in that game, and, you know, Yordano coming in the sixth inning, and everybody wanting Ned fired. And then, you know, years later, finally getting the backstory on that. And that was about planned for about a month. And Ned goes into that. You can check out that entire interview, as Dusty mentioned, on the podcast page, but you get all the kind of the background stuff. But the emotions that everybody went through in that game, we all felt the same thing. And then, you know, then it ends with that big hit. I mean, so moral of the story is just let the games happen. That's why I'm glad they're 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Moral of the story on Monday is we have to do our overreactions. I went first the last time we did this. Bob, if you want to give me your overreaction to a Monday after the Chiefs game against the Chargers.
You know, for me, it's just about some of the overreactions that I was seeing after yesterday's game. Number one, people saying the season's over and the Chiefs now don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl because of Rashee Rice, right? Okay. Yeah. And I'll just channel my inner Q and go, should we cancel the rest of the season? Yeah. And which I think is one of the greatest lines we've ever had by somebody when we say, is this a must-win game? And he goes, well, what happens if we don't? Is the rest of the season canceled, right? And that's kind of, do we just cancel the season now because Rashee Rice got hurt? Or is it okay to realize that we're just a defensive team right now and the offense just has to manage the game? I'm fine with that. One guy did tweet at me yesterday about Chris Jones and said that Chris Jones is the best player on this football team right now. And I don't know if that's an overreaction or if that is the flat-out truth, but I thought it was from at Leon FL24 on X. Jones is the best player on the team. Leon. It's hard to argue with Leon, right? It's hard to argue with Leon Flowers on that one.
I'm going to eat this Chinese food, Larry.
Yeah, that's right.
But hell yeah, Larry, you got to bring your stuff with it, Larry. Come on now.
But it's hard to argue with that. Chris Jones is the best player on this football team right now. I don't think that's an overreaction at all. But I do think the biggest overreaction of the weekend that I heard was, oh my God, the season's over. Rashee Rice is done. There's no way they can win a Super Bowl. And I hate to say you're wrong about that one. My biggest overreaction is there's not that many good teams in the NFL. It is a bunch.
You were bored with the first slate.
Yeah, I thought yesterday's early slate was... No, I had a friend over. We were talking and watching and just kind of like whatever's going on is going. But like, I don't know, man. Like that slate of games yesterday, you kind of said it going into the weekend. It was like kind of a turd fest. And it really played out to be a turd fest in the early games. And it makes you realize there's just not a lot of good teams in the NFL right now. There's a lot of marginal teams out there right now. But this is where we are. We're a really good team sitting at 4-0 that's beat some really good teams. We're head and shoulders above a lot of these also rans that are kind of masquerading as NFL teams right now.
Yeah, and tonight you get a little bit of an appetizer of a not-so-good game, Tennessee at Miami. I mean, I don't know if anybody's, like, champing at the bit.
It was one of the games of the year last year, but no, not this year.
I don't know if anybody's like really excited.
No,
like,
no one cares.
It was like, last year?
Yeah. This is like a 6:30, like...
Exactly, yeah.
You're getting Brussels sprouts and cauliflower. It's a great appetizer.
But say those again.
Brussels sprouts, cauliflower.
If you cook Brussels sprouts and bacon fat with bacon jelly, they're really good. Cauliflower can kick rocks. That thing sucks.
Our guy Andy Locke has a really good appetizer at Summit Bar and Grill in Third Street Social that has a Brussels sprout cauliflower combo.
Is it really good?
Brioche.
Yeah.
Which brioche. We'll also get into that a little bit. It's amazing.
I'm sure if Andy's rolling it out there on the menu, it's good.
I will say this. I get it every time I go.
Okay. Because cauliflower sucks, man.
Cauliflower. This is a good... We'll have to try it.
Are you a psychopath?
I am if I like it because I enjoy it. I don't like raw cauliflower, but I like the grilled, sautéed cauliflower they give with like a little balsamic glaze over it. It's money in the bank. Show me what you drank.
I'll eat the cauliflower pizza crust.
But it's not the great appetizers like the smokehouse wings. Like nobody's going like, oh, you got wings?
Right.
Like, lead the table. Like, you know? But the night game is Seattle at Detroit. Should be a good game. That should be, that's the main event, 7:15. But again, I don't think you're far off from 4 weeks in the season. Like, Tampa Bay absolutely cooked Philadelphia for a while. I mean, Philadelphia came out in the second half, looked a little bit different. They finally realized, hey, let's get the ball to Saquon Barkley.
Insane.
Insane how Nick Sirianni still has a job.
Right.
Doug Peterson's on his way out.
He still has a job. Doug Peterson's comments yesterday are some of the most insane I've ever seen. What do you want me to do? Run the plays too?
Okay, yeah. It's a two-way street, I think, is what he said when it comes to execution and actually calling the plays.
They asked him about his job security. He said, that's a pretty strange question. I was like, is it? You're 0-4. Yeah, you've lost 11 games in a row.
Since 1990, 100 and some teams have started 0-4. Only one has made it to the playoffs.
Yep.
Who is it?
It was San Diego back in 1990.
Oh. Is that Stan Humphreys?
Probably.
And Natron Means?
I don't know. Look, since 1990, just one of 105 teams to start the season, 0-4 has made the playoffs, the 92 Chargers.
Wow. Okay.
So, Doug, I hate to break you the news. You're not making the playoffs. Your job is on the line.
I think my overreactions, and Mac, we can get to yours too as well, but I think my overreactions is I think it's okay because I understand that Andy Reid is probably – the greatest NFL coach of all time. I know some people would argue Belichick. Some people say Shula, whatever you want to, or however you want to say it. I just, from what I've seen this man do to two different like leagues, NFC, AFC, Super Bowl appearance, Super Bowl wins, Andy Reid just always seems to have it.
And Andy Reid always does it with whatever quarterback that he's had.
Right.
Bill Belichick was phenomenal with Lawrence Taylor and phenomenal with Tom Brady. He was below phenomenal with everybody else that he had. Andy Reid has been outstanding with everybody who has played quarterback.
Do you give him credit for the Matt Castle year?
Who? Yes. Bill Belichick?
Still missed the playoffs.
Yeah, they still missed the playoffs, but they still won 11 games and hoisted Castle on us.
He has an outlier situation, but Andy Reid has like five.
Andy Reid has an entire career. Yeah. Like
Kevin Cobb,
Michael Vick out of prison, you know, Donovan McNabb, Alex Smith, Nick Foles. Yeah, like Andy Reid's done it with a lot of different quarterbacks.
So I think one of the overreactions you can have is that not every game do you have to lean on Andy Reid to win you that game? I think it's okay that you can have four or five games this year, at least now, where it's okay to let Spags be the guy. Be like, hey, man, we need you. You're our guy today. Just let this defense go out there and do its thing. As long as we don't give up more than 17 points, I think we can win this game every time. And this is one of those games, Spags, where we need you. And I think Monday night against the Saints is one of those games. You have a speed threat in Shaheed going down the field. You have Olave on that team. Alvin Kamara's on that team. Don't look now, but the Chiefs are very good against opponents' running backs. Derrick Henry just ran for 199.
Did you see that run he had the other night?
Still got it.
Oh, my God. Buffalo, thanks for coming, frauds.
Derrick Henry had 199 against Buffalo last night. He didn't do anything against the Chiefs.
That fraud alert went off.
J.K. Dobbins has had 200-yard rushing games this season. First time since, I think, LT and the Chargers organization didn't really do diddly-poo against the Chiefs, right?
39 yards or something yesterday.
So they do really good job.
Kareem Hunt had more rushing yards than the Chargers offense did yesterday.
Love it. And this is another game where I think in this Monday night game, it's going to be like, hey, Pat, in the offense, can you go out there and score 17? I think I can keep the Saints and Derek Carr at 10 or below.
Yeah, and I think it was a well-balanced offense that we saw on Sunday, too. You had 29 passes, 26 runs. That's a 50-50 split in this world of the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at. Like, you look at Patrick Mahomes' numbers, very pedestrian quarterback, 245 yards, a touchdown, an interception, took three sacks, an 89 rating. That's a very pedestrian quarterback. But that's all you need right now. Like, Patrick isn't playing great this year. The first quarter of the season, I think, it's kind of been a dud. For Patrick Mahomes, interceptions, turnovers, and you blew up your wide receiver. Like, I mean, I don't know how anybody can walk away from the first quarter of the season and go, oh, Patrick Mahomes has played great this year, because he hasn't played great this year. And they're still 4-0. And they're 4-0 because of the way that this defense is playing right now and the way that they're getting after it. I mean, 25 straight games at 28 or fewer points, you're going to win just about every one of those games. So Patrick doesn't have to be this magician out there. He just has to now be a quarterback, quite frankly, that puts his team in position to score a couple of touchdowns so he doesn't make mistakes.
And another overreaction I had is that I think you have to be extremely active right now to go get a wide receiver. I think a lot of people look at last year and say, look what they did last year with this wide receiver. They had Rashee Rice last year. Yeah, they had Kadarius Toney. They had Sky Moore. They had Mecole Hardman. They had a lot of those guys they had on this team. But again, they did have Rashee Rice. They don't have Rashee Rice. They have a rookie in Xavier Worthy that looks exceptional. He looks like he's well ahead of the curve. Well, he's going to be a good part of this team. But after that, it's Justin Watson. It's Mecole Hardman. Juju Smith-Schuster. So I think they do need to get active and go do that. Now, they do have a game against the Saints on Monday night, so they get a little bit extra day. Then they have a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
So they have time to kind of figure things out in these next 2 weeks to see what they really want to do. And then my other funny overreaction is anywhere from 64 and in is what Harrison Butker can do. 64 and out, he's just a little short.
He's got to make those kicks, though.
Yeah, well, 65 yards is a boot.
He got one job.
Okay.
You got one job. You got to make those kicks. That's a two possession, but that's a 10-point win. He makes that kick yesterday.
It was also the right time with 3 seconds left.
Of course, it was perfect time to try something like that. Not with 20, like against the Bengals, right?
Right.
You know, so and outside and with 20 seconds left, it would have been a bad decision. But I ultimately think, you know, yes, we want them to go out and make a move for a wide receiver. I believe the offensive staff probably is in concert with us, would like to see them do that. But what if you just become more tight end oriented right now, right? You've got Travis Kelce. You just paid Noah Gray. You've got Wiley out there as well. I mean, maybe it's time you become a three tight end set offense if you can't go out and make that move that you want at wide receiver and just drastically change the offense. And you got Andy Reid, right? I mean, like, having the bye week come when it does right now, as much as we bitched about the bye being too early in the season, it's now coming at the absolute time. Because you go out there, you take care of the Saints, you're 5-0, and you roll into the bye, and then you can revamp the entire offense. Like, there ain't no Cabo or Cancun or anything like that for Andy Reid at the bye week. They're going to be inside that office figuring out ways to kind of change up this offense and make things work. And then when they come back in week 7, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of tight end sets. I think it's going to be a lot of tight end type of football until if they are, can go out and get some reinforcements at that wide receiver position. Use the guys that you have right now. You got 3 tight ends that are pretty good. Let's utilize them.
Dr. Mackenzie, do you have any overreactions on this Monday morning?
Yeah, I would just piggyback yours on the wide receiver one, man. I think this team's got to go add someone. I think there's just... Yeah, this wide receiver, the overreaction would be this wide receiver core now without Rice is worse than last year's.
Yeah. I mean...
And they would want Kadarius Toney. They'd add him right now.
Oh.
He would play. Oof. He would play. He would play over Sky Moore. He would be the not worst receiver
play
on this
over
team.
Sky Moore at this point. Carson Steele may play over Sky Moore.
Well, yeah, you haven't seen my 40, but, you know.
I don't think I need to. I just need you to... I've seen your hands. I haven't seen Sky Moore.
I have them.
I don't know where his are at. He got one opportunity.
You had that one opportunity. You got to take advantage
right
of that.
Insane. I mean, right through it. It was just like, I think everybody, for the first time in my life, in the same regards of the Chiefs, I think when that play happened, everybody said, why? Like, why are we doing this?
You got to make those plays, though. Like, and I don't want to hear, oh, he's rusty, doesn't get many opportunities. You know, you got to take advantage of those opportunities. Like, you need to take advantage of those opportunities, and he didn't.
Let's get to the brioche of the weekend.
That's next segment.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought we were almost done with the show today. I apologize.
Well, there's that clock right there. That tells you what time it is.
Well, we'll get to the brioche of the weekend on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Love me a good brioche bun from the Hy-Vee Bakery. I'll tell you what, man. Orange package.
Those are fantastic. We got them the other day.
Put a cheese blanket on that. Like, we're about to put a cheese blanket on this show.
I'm going to put a cheese blanket on the Baltimore Orioles this week, too.
Ooh. Yeah. That's right. Somebody says, guys, what about trading with Chicago acquiring Keenan Allen?
Don't hate it.
Not mad about it. I know that the people are worried about injuries. You can't worry about injuries.
Nope.
Just, I mean, I know they happen. They're hindsight all the time. Guy got hurt. Great. It's like, well, that's the NFL.
People get hurt all the time. Like, right. Everybody gets hurt. There's nobody healthy right now in the NFL.
Who's damaged more right now, the Chiefs or the Niners?
Oh, the Niners by far.
I mean, they don't have Christian McCaffrey and they don't have Trent Williams.
I mean, if the Chiefs didn't have the Rashee Rice injury, we wouldn't even be talking about
Debo played this week, though, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. He did play. Yeah,
McCaffrey may never play again.
They said he's going to be back soon.
Well, that's what they think, right? Yeah, sure. They don't lie in the NFL.
The Yerman doctors might have figured something out.
No, I heard they said in Germany they didn't have any idea what it was, and they sent him back to America.
And then did you see the report? And then, like, this weekend it was like, Christian McCaffrey's being ramped up and should be back in the next few weeks.
I saw, like November.
Yeah,
like,
it could be November.
They're liars. They're just making things up.
Liar, liar. Pants on fire.
Oh, the NFL lying about injuries? I've never heard of that before.
Brioche of the weekend. I'll take the cake on this one because I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this all weekend. How about them Colorado Buffaloes?
How about those Buffaloes? Big win.
Do you believe now?
They play a non-conference game of UCF.
Like, you know who has the second best odds to win the Big 12 right now?
Who is the first best odds?
K-State.
Seriously?
I believe so.
Not Utah?
I believe K-State has the number one odds to win the Big 12. Yeah,
they had the loss.
They had the fluster to BYU. Colorado is 14-point underdogs at UCF. So let me get this out of the way first, because I've got some people that I'm pretty close to on Twitter that were kind of coming after me a little bit. Said who they played. It's not about who they played. I'm looking at what they were projected.
Why is that the immediate response?
Because it's college sports. That's just the way it goes. Right, like the brioche of the weekend could have been that Georgia-Alabama game that was absolutely
outstanding.
Nuts.
Yeah,
there's a 17-year-old
Ryan
kid out
Williams.
There.
I told you now for 3 weeks. I love this kid.
17-year-old kid out there making guys look goofy.
14-point
underdogs, and they went on the road and won by double digits, and it was really never close. Again, Travis Hunter is the best college football player in the United States. Shedeur Sanders looks a little bit better every other week. They're blocking better. Their defense is better. I had Binkley text me the entire game. Oh, he's all in on Colorado.
He is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been there since day one, since Deion got announced as the coach. But again, not trying to throw any shades.
But Colorado, man, they're now the second favorite odds to win the Big 12, and they are now favorites in every game except that K-State game.
Wow, how about that? Good for them.
4-1.
Are they favored against KU?
Yes. I'll be at that game. In Arrowhead.
You may be the only one at that game. KU lost again.
Sure. Yeah.
TCU.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's not good. Colorado's not good. Better.
That's, oh, God.
That's my brioche of the weekend, my Colorado Buffaloes. Do you believe now?
All right. I'll go with Chris Jones as my brioche of the weekend.
You like this guy.
God, the way he played yesterday, good Lord. I mean, he's going to be counted on now to kind of lead this team. He's your number one player right now. But he had two sacks, finishes the game the way that he did. Four tackles, three solo, two for loss, two sacks, three quarterback pressures. Now 78.5 sacks, tying Justin Houston for fourth most all time in franchise history. He's just the sixth player in franchise history to record 50 or more career sacks and already owns the franchise record for most sacks by a defensive tackle or nose tackle. With one more half sack, Jones will pass Justin Houston for fourth place outright. He owned the game yesterday. He took over that game yesterday. He was the leading catalyst in stopping the run, a couple of sacks, tackles for loss. Chris Jones is my brioche of the weekend. They don't win that game without Chris Jones playing to that level yesterday.
And man, it just feels like every time they really need to play on defense, it's Chris Jones.
He's been great. He's been so good this year.
Yeah, we talked about him the other one. Maybe the most underrated Chief of all time. Maybe one of the most underrated players ever. Chris Jones, truly amazing. Brioche, for me, I saw a collage video. I can't even chat. I don't know what account it was on X, formerly known as Twitter, of Salvador Perez just smiling just over the years, him since a rookie.
Oh, yeah. I saw the rookie picture. I didn't realize how young he looked, right?
Yeah, and there was just a video with music in the back. Just him, each year, just him kind of smiling after making plays or after a guy makes a joke. It was just really good. I was just like, damn, I love Salvi. I love this team.
Yeah.
Like, let's go, baby, right before the playoffs. So that's my brioche. Salvi, let's go.
Yeah, I hate to break it to everybody. Tomorrow is going to be all Royals.
Yeah.
Unless the Royals
make a trade or the Chiefs make a trade for somebody.
And that ain't going to happen because it's Monday Night Football. I'm giving you an update tomorrow. It is from 6 to 10 a.m. It's going to be Royals, 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 Royals. So if you're looking for Chiefs content, you can check out the podcast page of today's show and let's do it. But I can promise you tomorrow, boys, like, I don't even know if I need to send you topics. I mean, it's Royals flooded tomorrow.
And Danon Hughes, who played baseball, so we'll get his take on the Royals as well. You know, I enjoy that. Always good to get a former minor leaguer's perspective who played professional baseball and professional football tomorrow. So, right. There's a lot going on.
Vern will be with us again tomorrow, I think.
Yep, Vern will be tomorrow as well.
I like Wednesday.
Can't wait. I did order my playoff hoodie.
You did?
Yep.
You didn't go down there? You just ordered it online?
Too many people. You know, I don't want to, you know, come on out.
Like, me?
Yes. I don't want to deal with that, all that. So,
people. I don't know about
that. Fast show again today. Tomorrow, it's all Royals baseball as your boys in blue take on the Baltimore Orioles to see if those O's are loyal to us. They were against Minnesota. Go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind and stay safe. And stay here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. For Cody and Gold on the other side.
Listening to Fesco and Destiny.